You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now on 914.50 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, as well as New England College. And this segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community designed specifically for individuals with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Phone number 224-9111. Welcome to the program. Right now, your friend and mine, he is Todd Fahey from ARP New Hampshire. Todd, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Ryan.
How are you?
I am well.
Don't forget our folks listening in the afternoon. Afternoon to them.
Good afternoon, folks listening in the afternoon. And it's good to be here with you today on this lovely morning.
Don't forget those folks. Don't forget them. So today we are going to discuss prescription drug costs again, and this after an article that's pushed forth by your organization in regards to average brand name drug prices now are over 18 times higher than average generic drug prices, according to ARP report. So take us through the dynamics of that. Why are the drug costs for name brands 18 times higher than generics?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I'm being honest.
It's Todd Fahey joining us here from ARP New Hampshire. Todd, it was great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. No, I mean, the point is, for me to say exactly why the cost inflator is what it is would be, I don't know. I don't know what the cost is. But the point of it is this, is that it makes the case that it's critical to be sure, critical that people have access to generic drugs, given that there's a price differential of 18 times. Many older Americans take an average of 4.5 different kind of meds every month. And obviously, it's a pocketbook issue for people. So the pocketbook issue is really heightened if you have an access to a much lower cost alternative for your prescription drugs versus a brand name issue. So this report really highlights the difference, and we can talk about that as we go forward.
Yeah, and when you think about average Americans and the amount of prescription drugs they have, as you referenced, for older Americans, it's they take 4.5 on average, obviously. Prescriptions per day, and they have to pay for them on a monthly basis. So what is the out-of-pocket cost on average for an American if they're having 4.5 prescriptions per month?
Yeah, well, it's good to talk about the numbers, so thanks for bringing it up. So a generic med cost on an average annual basis is $365 a year. And by contrast, the average annual cost for a brand name prescription drugs was $6,798. And all of this is detailed in a report we released through our Public Policy Institute in April of 2019. It was co-authored by a gentleman from the University of Minnesota and also AARP. So it's a very good report. It's basically called The Trends in Retail Prices of Generic Prescription Drugs, and it can be found at aarp.org. Public Policy Institute.
So how much of the are those out-of-pocket costs, or does Medicare pick up a portion of the $800 or $6,000?
Well, it depends where you are. Okay. I mean, obviously a Medicare beneficiary needs to be 65 years of age or older, so there are a lot of people here. This really affects everybody. It's not just the Medicare beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. But, and in fairness, generics account for about 9 out of every 10 prescriptions filled in the U.S. So, but they represent about a quarter of the country's drug spending. So mm-hmm. if we're so concerned about systemic change, and we're concerned about how we're going to deal with the bloating and the spending in programs like Medicaid and Medicare, one thing we could do is figure out why it is that some of these costs are through the roof, and that we're spending a lot of the resources that we have in that system on very expensive drugs.
So one of the arguments when we talk about Medicare for All is that Medicare has been successful in negotiating lower cost drugs, and that they're able to get the drug prices down for Medicare recipients. So The concern here is not necessarily Medicare recipients, but individuals that are either have gaps in coverage or are younger than Medicare, or are the Medicare recipients, because of they're on Medicare, they're not having to pay the brunt of the high cost of prescription drugs.
Okay, well, a lot of questions there. So the first thing is, Medicare for all. So that, as I understand it, is a proposal, and it is a proposal that AARP is not supporting at this moment. So I'm not saying we will or we won't. The fact is, we are not behind Medicare for all. AARP not supporting Medicare for all. We're talking about Medicare as currently Correct. Constituted. The other issue is, one issue that you bring up is whether Medicare can negotiate for lower prices, and it's prohibited from doing so. That's called secretarial negotiation. That is one of the solutions that we're suggesting be had. And there seems to be, and some time ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, Medicare could negotiate for lower prices and use its buying power like the VA does. But it can't. There's a law that prohibits that from happening. So because it can't use this massive buying power it has, it's paying probably a higher premium.
So that's a myth that is out there that is being pushed forth, that individuals who are on Medicare pay less for prescription drugs than others because they're on Medicare and they have negotiating power.
Right. Well, yeah, in some sense, that's true. I mean, Medicare itself, this program is not able to use its buying power to negotiate downward the price. So what we've asked for is secretarial negotiations so that the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services could use that power to negotiate prices down. Not happening. It's one of the many fixes that AARP is supporting to lower the cost of prescription drug prices.
So would that be an act of Congress that would allow for secretarial negotiation, or since the secretary is a member of the president's cabinet, that they would have the discretion to negotiate based upon use of executive power?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it was a law that was passed. Presumably, it needs to. It could be something that Congress needs to act on. I'm not sure it's just within the purview of the executive branch. But I understand that President Trump is concerned about the cost of prescription drug prices as well, he obviously is more than able to use his executive powers when he sees fit. So. That's a good question. We can talk more about that one.
And that's a good point in that, I mean, he seems to try to use executive power, but at times is pushed back, based upon what the purview of Congress is. As an example, allocation of funding that has already been dedicated to specific localities, such as the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard for defense spending. He's trying to use that money allocated for that to fund a border wall. And but that is something that, in my view, is in the purview of Congress. This, if it's and again, I don't have the full details on this either. But if this is something that was a law that was passed by Congress, which did not allow for the Secretary of Health and Human Services to negotiate drug prices, then it's in the exact same purview.
Exactly. It puts us back into the battle between the branches, if you will.
Correct.
So we don't have the battle of the bands anymore. Right. We now have the battle of the branches. And there's in all seriousness, that's a big deal. I mean, right. Because we have, separate and co-equal branches of government and where one feels like they have the authority, they don't want the others to intrude, understandably so. And that's how our democracy is set up.
That's Todd Fahey. He is the state director for AARP New Hampshire here on the New Hampshire Now program. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. And this segment of the program brought to you by the Birches at Concord. As we continue on with this discussion, some of the highlights from the report are that older Americans are taking an average, as you referenced, of 4.5 prescription drugs every month, and those using generic prescription drugs are likely to have an average annual retail cost of $1,642 in 2017. So again, the retail cost is the cost without any sort of insurance, correct? That's not an out-of-pocket cost.
Well, that's what they're paying. I mean, so
they're paying.
So your question is whether that is being borne by the consumer of the medications.
Correct. Because what I'm trying to figure out is what type of a percentage of, let's say, an individual has some retirement savings, but they're on Social Security. What type of percentage of a person's annual income, if you will, is spent on prescription drugs? Are people spending literally $800, $1,000, $2,000 on prescription drugs at this point in time based upon what the cost of these drugs are? Or is there a certain aspect that is borne by insurance, as is the case generally for individuals who have insurance plans?
Right. Well, I mean, look, Medicare does have some prescription drug benefits. Everybody knows that. Who are on, anybody who's on Medicare and Part D understands that there's a benefit, but it's not unlimited, and people do fall into a donut hole depending upon income and cost of the drugs. But let's come back to your question. I mean, if assuming the average annual retail cost is $1,642, and retail being what the ultimate consumer of the medication is paying, the average Social Security benefit in New Hampshire is about $1,312 a month. Men a little more, women a little less. So if you look at it that way, it's more than 1 month of a Social Security check to care to pay for your medicine. And that's not atypical, okay? But we've heard many stories where people are either they're cutting their medication dosages in half so that they can stretch the benefit a little longer. Sometimes they're going without food to take the med, and it's a tough place to put people. Certainly, if we can't just figure out what the root cause of these inflationary pressures are.
And getting back to that, the drug companies will say that the reason for the inflationary costs is for research, development, and advertising. And as you referenced before, there's a significant gap in the amount of generic drugs that are used by consumers as compared to brand name drugs, and you would think that that would cause, again, the profits are, I don't think I'm in any place to be telling drug companies how to become more profitable, but you would think that one of the problems that exists is that there are certain drugs that, as I've been, you know, well reported, that don't have generics, and mm-hmm. individuals are forced to, because there are no other cheaper options, to pay incredible amounts. But you would think that you know, in a market-based situation, if there's a generic drug that costs this, that they would bring their costs down. So why don't they do that?
Well, I mean, this highlights the report talks a lot about the importance of eliminating the anti-competitive behavior by brand name drug companies so that we can get more lower priced generics on the market. And and of course, you know, some of the rationale advanced by the drug companies is there needs to be a recovery of the R&D time. Many drugs that go to market don't ultimately get approved, and so there are certainly arguments that are advanced. I am not going to debunk or verify any of those. It's not for me to do it. I don't have the data to do it. I'm simply saying what our data suggests is that average brand name drug prices are 18 times higher than average generic drug prices. And if you accept that as fact, the question becomes how it is that we get to market more generic drug prices. So you can say whatever you want, it seems to me, logically about why it is the brand name drug prices are so high. But the fact of the matter is, if generics do the job for Americans and it's what they can afford, they need to get them to market. And we need to be able to make sure that there's no artificial impediments to that happening, created by the industry or by regulation, frankly.
And I think that is the key point. And, you know, there have been obviously, you know, circumstances in which it's been well highlighted with EpiPens or, you know, or others that indicate that individuals are being, you know, and I think that this occurs in a lot of different aspects of medicine, not just prescription drugs, where too often cost and, you know, the effect of a disease on an individual becomes an impediment to the quality of care. You know, individuals trying to work through various diseases that they're battling because they have to pay for their prescription drugs. They need to, you know, to pay for their treatments. And this is a big problem in this country, particularly as we have seen a change in how employers are looking at healthcare and the costs of healthcare. And as the Affordable Care Act premiums have risen, individuals are, you know, at times going without care and having to deal with catastrophic circumstances that they didn't expect. And as a result of that, you know, are trying to continue to work through situations where they shouldn't have to. And, you know, I think that that is a huge significant issue. A person has to pay, has a rare condition that they or their children have a rare condition, and you know they're having to work instead of being with their child who is dealing with something because they have to pay for the care. And this kind of goes beyond just the prescription drug issue, mm-hmm. but it's a significant health issue that we're facing in this country. I mean, no individuals should have to choose quality of care and being with loved ones over, or kind of balancing paying for that care.
It depends upon what we all value as a nation. I mean, we certainly have our positions at AARP about healthcare and about prescription drug prices, and we stand by them. But at the end of the day, we can sit here and can have this intellectual discussion, and we can debate it all day long. We can go from any angle you want, right? But at the end of the day, when it's somebody you care about, or when it's you, you can't get the care you need, you can't afford the meds you need, and you have to make the choice between, and there are many people who make it, okay, because if you look
this
at...
This is not a hypothetical
this
situation.
Is not this a hypothetical, it's exactly, yeah. It's real. So we can talk about it, and if we, you know, people can start to politicize it and say it's a left-right issue, I come back to say it's not a left-right issue. I mean, I understand people on different sides of the spectrum have different positions about the role of government, generically, right? I get that, and no pun intended about the generics. But I mean, it is a real issue. It's a real issue when it's somebody you care about who can't take the med, excuse me. Or if we get into like the whole pre-existing condition,
right?
And you know, it's all hypothetical, and it's nothing. There's no issue with that until it's your yeah. spouse, your wife, or your kid, and you can't afford health insurance because all of a sudden the pre-existing condition exemption is now gone. And people ought to remember that because that's a real deal. And so I know we digress a bit. But I mean, it is a very real and personal issue, and it does affect people in the most intimate of ways, their health and well-being, and frankly, their lives.
Todd, as always, appreciate you joining us for the program. Todd Fahey from AARP New Hampshire here on Hampshire Now with 914.50 and nhtalkradio.com, State Director for AARP. This hour of the program presented by New England College as well as the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by the Birches at Concord.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council, and also by New Futures.